through the on the fruit of the Spirit this morning. This morning, we've been talking about that, and Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 that when we're walking according to the Spirit, that there's fruit that's going to be produced in our life. Like, you don't have to just, like, you don't, you, like, you're in your own ability, you can't do it, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That there's some fruit. And then he lists them in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. It says this: but the Holy Spirit, who does? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, which we're going to loop back to next weekend, right? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are marks of the Spirit-filled life. And today I want to study goodness and faithfulness. Will you bow your heads with me just one more time? Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have to open up your word. Lord God, it is a sacred time, Lord God, and it's a time, Lord, that not every place in America and in the world has the opportunity to open up your word freely, to sit at your feet and hear what your word says to us, God. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord God, we don't ever want to take it for granted. And I pray, Lord, for these next few moments that the Holy Spirit, Lord, again, would not just give us information, but Lord God, bring about transformation. God, that your Holy Spirit will produce this in our life, God. And we pray we'd walk differently because, Lord God, we hear what your Spirit says, and Lord, you're producing something in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. There are nine fruits listed that we should have as a Spirit-filled people, right? And today we're going to just look at goodness and faithfulness. And I want to set our focus on those two by going to 1 John chapter 1. It's going to be on the screen, or you can follow along on the YouVersion app. Specifically, verses 5 all the way through 1 John chapter 2, verses all the way down to verse 8. And I'm not going to read all that this morning just because of time, but I am going to keep referring to it. So if you just scan those verses, if you're on the YouVersion app or whatever, you're going to notice these two words a lot: liar and truth. Liar and truth. The whole passage is about truth and lies and how the lies try to undermine the truth of God, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6 says this: so we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. The reason I want you to see these verses is because John is having a conversation here about biblical goodness and biblical faithfulness. Both faithfulness and goodness have to do with honest living, living honestly. They have to do with walking in truth. Right? And I know that sometimes we think we always do that, but I just want to challenge this a little bit. Goodness and faithfulness have to do with being a person of integrity. So when you think about goodness and faithfulness, I want you to think about honesty and truth and integrity. Right? That word integrity means whole. Like, it's not a fraction. If you can think of integrity that way, it just helps you to think of, to understand better, right? A person with integrity is a whole person. They're not fractured. They're not fragmented. They're not compartmentalized. They're not two-faced. They're whole. But how many know we live in a culture today, and I want you to just lean in this morning, where we often compartmentalize and fragment our lives to justify living in different sets of values in different areas of our life. Isn't that true? Right? Often our life looks like a retail store. Right? You go in a retail store and you'll have like the kitchen department and the clothes department and the I don't know, whatever else they, you know, sporting equipment, whatever. Like, there's all kinds of different departments, and sometimes people live their lives that way, right? They have the faith department that causes you to come to church on Sunday morning, and that's what we do on Sunday morning. But then on Monday morning, we got our work friends, and we have a different set of values with that. And then on the weekends, we got, like, we're going to be with our friends. So I got a whole different value system with that, right? And we just kind of go through, and every part of our life, every area of our life can sometimes have a department. Our values that are different, right? That kind of life is a fragmented life. It's not whole. There's no integrity in that. We're not walking in truth when we live that way. There was a time, and again, this is way simple for church people, but really I think we live in a world that's just different today, right? There was a time that we actually believed that there was absolute truth. That there was actually, what was true, was actually true everywhere, all the time, for all people. Anybody remember that? Right? That the truth didn't change because of where you were or the people you were with. That if you believed the truth, it was true in your public life and in your private life. Right? It was expected that there should be some congruency between your public life and your private life because your life was whole because it was governed by God's truth. But how many know today is different? We live in a fragmented, compartmentalized world where people expect a different set of values based on whoever you're with or wherever you are. Right? Our values sometimes change from place to place or from relationship to relationship. Right? We've often used the illustration of a chameleon, right? The chameleon that's like they just change colors with the environment. And how many know sometimes in our culture, even as Christians, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing, right? Our culture is okay with us following Jesus in our private life, but how many know they don't like us to bring it publicly, right? They're okay with us having faith by ourselves, but don't bring your faith into the workplace where your beliefs may be imposed on us. But here's the crazy thing. When people are saying that, what they don't realize is when they say those things, they're doing the very thing that they tell you you can't do. They're telling you that you're imposing your beliefs on them, but they're imposing their beliefs on you. Right? And when you say truth and faith are relative, keep it private, don't bring it to public, don't impose your beliefs on me, they're hypocritically imposing their beliefs on you. Right? And it's called this, and you've heard this term, right? Particularly today, relativism. Right? It's where really, it's like there's no absolute truth, right? Truth changes from person to person and place to place. It's all relative, right? And listen, in a culture where that happens, you'll hear people talk about their truth. Well, that's your truth. That's what's true for you, but that's not what's true for me, right? In this modern way of thinking about truth, if there's no integrity, it has no integrity because we don't believe there is a truth that can govern every part of your life, right? At this point, you're probably saying, Pastor Jeff, what in the world does this have to do with goodness and faithfulness? Well, let me define them for you and maybe we'll make a little more sense. Biblical goodness has to do with consistency and sincerity. When someone is sincere, they're like a crystal lake. I was thinking this week, we've had some people going and taking some trips to some beautiful places, and they're, you know, I was just thinking when we lived in Colorado and going to the streams, and like you can see the fish. You don't have to actually have a lure. You can just, it's so crystal clear. Like when you walk in integrity and goodness, right? Like it's like you can see through the bottom of a person. You can see through them. They're sincere. That's biblical goodness. Biblical faithfulness has to do with dependability, follow through, responsible. How many know now this is becoming more relevant, right? Because how many know like being dependable and following through and doing what you said and keeping your word and keeping promises, right? They're true. They're loyal. So goodness is consistency, faithfulness is dependability, and so now you can see how the honesty and integrity and truth relate, right? That's why we're looking at them together, because I'm not going to make a whole lot of distinction between goodness and faithfulness. I'm going to talk more about truth and integrity this morning. In 1 John chapter 1, John is trying to teach us about truth and about becoming a person of goodness and faithfulness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, it says this: "This is a message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all." That one little phrase, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all, says a lot about God and truth, doesn't it? When John speaks of truth here, he's not speaking about, he isn't just speaking about what's true or false. He's like, God, listen, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. John is saying, listen, the very nature of God is truth, right? He's perfect truth. He's absolute truth. He's eternal truth. God's saying, listen, what makes God perfect and true is, or perfect and pure is how true he is, There's no darkness in God at all. What makes lies wrong are the fact that they contradict the true nature of God. Right? It's impossible for God to lie, right? Because the truth is the essence of who he is. Which is why he's faithful and he's unchanging and he's always keeping his promises. He's light, and in him there is no darkness. John's telling us, listen, when God calls us to live a life of honesty and integrity and truth, he's not just giving us busy work. He's telling us to be like him, to be like God, right? That's the point. God is consistent. He cannot contradict himself. He doesn't say one thing in one place and contradict himself in another place. He's not fractured. He doesn't have parts and departments. What he says today is still true tomorrow. Right? What he says in one context is still true in the other context. That's the reason the Apostle John says that God is light and there is in him no darkness at all. So what does it mean to be honest and live in integrity? It means to be absolutely consistent. It means that you're consistent from one place to another place, from one person to another person, from private life to public life. That's what integrity is. And that's the fruit of goodness and faithfulness in our life. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 10 says this: if we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our heart. The problem with human heart is not that we're just dishonest at times, because how many know we are, right? But the biggest problem in our life is that our dishonesty is rooted in the accusation that God is a liar. Our dishonesty and our lack of an integrity and our inability to walk in truth starts when we distrust God, right? Think about the first temptation. I want you to think about this morning, right? Adam and Eve were living in paradise. They had the perfect relationship. They had the perfect relationship with God. Everything was perfect in their life. And how did Satan tempt them? He twists God's word, his truth, and he says to them, did God really say you're not supposed to eat that fruit? You know I told you that, right? Because he knows if you eat that fruit, that your eyes will be open and you'll be like him. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to control you. The nature of the very first temptation in the world was an attack on God's integrity and an attack on his honesty and his faithfulness. Did God really say that? So the first sin, I want you to think about this, wasn't the sin of disobedience by eating the fruit. The first sin was believing that God was a liar. And from that point until now, every person's dishonesty starts the minute that we distrust God's honesty. You become a liar the second you believe that God is a liar. So if the first temptation was to doubt God's integrity and the first sin was caused by man believing that God wasn't truthful, that means that doubting God's word is the foundation of every other sin. Think about it. Distrust and integrity of God and the integrity of God immediately destroys the integrity of man. Every sin comes from believing lies instead of believing truth. The Bible teaches us that the root of every root need of every person is to worship something. And if we're not filling that need with God, if we're not worshiping God, how many know you're gonna create, really, you're just gonna become an idol factory. And you're just gonna worship money and possessions and all the things. And listen, the lie may be different. Depending on where you grew up and how you were taught or whatever, it may be different, but there's a lie in every human heart that drives us. That's why some people, right? Let me just give you a couple of examples. Some people are addicted to approval. They're absolutely destroyed when not everybody likes them, right? It's because the big lie for those people is if people don't love me and think I'm awesome, I'll never be happy and fulfilled. Right? Other people are driven by money and success. And the big lie is those people operate their lives. If you don't make a certain money and you don't live in a certain house and you don't have a certain level of security and advance in your career, then you're nothing. That's what the world tells you. Right? Those people are worshiping idols, and the lie is controlling their beliefs and their behaviors. Come on, somebody. That makes sense? Listen, if you look at any area of your life that you fall short of in God's plan, you'll see the root of it is because you're believing a lie instead of the truth. Right? Think about worry. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever worry? Right? When you're worried, it's because you have a lie on repeat in your head that says, I would be doing a better job if I was in charge. God, I'm extremely worried that you're not going to get this right. That's what we're saying. Sounds a little harsh when you say it out loud, doesn't it? But that's what we're saying. Right? God, if you would just do this, like, God, I'm worried because I'm not sure you're going to come through this time. Like, I know you've come through every single time from when I was a kid and first knew you as my Lord and Savior. You've always been faithful, but I just don't know about this time. That's what worry is. It's a lie. It's the sin of worry. It's what worry is. It's believing that lie. So you're really not consumed with worry. What you're really consumed with is a lie that you know better than God knows how to handle things. Right? All of our sin comes from the root of this lie somewhere in us that we believe a lie over God's truth. Right, we said things today, right? We said, hey, I'm going to listen to God's voice and there's nothing impossible. But how many know, like most of us, if we're honest, we're going to walk out and we're like, same old, same old. The truth is, God says, nothing's with God, there's nothing impossible. That's what the eternal God says. Too close? Right? But we walk out like, yeah, I know that, but. Because we believe the lie of the enemy over the truth of God. And since all your sins are based on lies, that's what our spiritual enemy keeps doing. He keeps lying. Trying to make us question God's integrity, just like he did with Adam and Eve. Right? That's why Jesus refers to Satan as the father of lies in John chapter 8. Because Satan keeps tempting them to turn their eyes away from God's truth and integrity to believe a lie. Listen, you'll never become a person of integrity until you stop treating God like he's a liar. Again, I know that's a harsh phrase maybe, but I'm just trying, does that make sense? Right? We have to trust him and take him in his word. Let me say this. Listen, if somebody says they don't believe in absolute truth, and they say they can't believe that God's spoken through the Bible and all of it is true for all people and all places and all times, what they're doing is doubting God's integrity. Yep. And doubting God's integrity will destroy people's integrity. If you don't believe in absolute truth, then you don't have any truth at all, right? If you're one of those people that say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth, what you're saying is there's no such thing as truth, right? But if there's no such thing as absolute truth, it's hypocritical to say anything is wrong or unjust. Right? If there's no absolute standard, then nobody has any right to call anything morally wrong or unjust. Right? When you destroy absolute truth, you destroy the possibility of any truth. When you say that God is not spoken, all you're left with, listen to me, is everybody's opinion in the world, and that's what we find ourselves in today. Everybody's got an opinion that what's right for me is not right for, right? And I mean, again, there was a day that we believed in absolute truth, and it was for everybody. It didn't matter if you were in Africa or you were in Siberia. It didn't matter where you were or who you were with. It was absolute truth. And you lived the same way at home as you do it in public. But today we just have everybody's opinion. And we have Facebook feeding us opinions. And we have the media and algorithm feeding us opinions. Like, we don't even know what we believe until we see what Fox News says. I'm just trying to get us, like, absolute truth is God's word. So every opinion I have, right? Again, people ask me sometimes about abortion or whatever. Like, I don't have an opinion. Because God's already spoken clearly. Right? People ask me about, you know, why, can I live together? You know, blah. I don't have an opinion. God's already spoken. I don't have to pray about it. Like, I've already read. I already know what His Word says. So we're either going to do it or not. But quit acting like we don't know the truth. But everybody has a truth. And we live in a world constantly confused because nobody has any solid foundation. Like, listen, like, we want what we used to have, but we don't want to hold on to the truth we used to hold on to. Right? There's got to be a standard. People are so inconsistent today because, listen, on one hand, they'll say there's no absolute truth. But then the minute you start saying there is, they rebut it and say, well, I'm absolutely truth, sure that there is no absolute truth. Like, we contradict ourselves, right? You know what they just did? They just made their belief absolute truth. And a person that doesn't take God at His word is living in a life full of contradictions. Right, they say Christians are contradictory or hypocritical. No. People that don't have an absolute standard of truth. Right? Unless you believe in God's truth, there's no coherence anymore. There's nothing but contradiction. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, so we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we keep living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. So if we say one thing and do another thing, we're not practicing truth. God's nature is what defines truth, and His nature is consistent, right? The spiritual gift of goodness is being consistent, sincere, genuine, both in public and in private. In Psalm 15, verses 1 through 2, it says this, the psalmist says, who may worship the Lord in your sanctuary? Who may enter the presence of your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Somebody who speaks the truth from a sincere heart is someone whose actions on the outside come from a heart that's genuinely changed on the inside. Those actions are coming from a heart that's governed by truth. They're sincere from the inside out. All right, let me just give you three marks of a heart that's full of goodness and faithfulness real quick. First of all, awareness. One way you can tell you're not a hypocrite is that you know you used to be one, and there's still a possibility you could fall back into that trap. Come on, somebody. If you're aware, then you're not a hypocrite. Come on, somebody. Real hypocrites have no idea that they're hypocritical. Come on, somebody. This is good. Isn't that right? Right? You ever told somebody, like, they're so hypocritical, and they're just like, they're clueless. C.S. Lewis used to say this. I love it. He says, if you think you're not conceited, you're conceited indeed. Right? That's how you know you're conceited, when you're sure you're not. You can tell you're growing in goodness and consistency and faithfulness and dependability when you have an awareness of the potential to become a hypocrite again. Here's the second one, and that is openness. You got to be open with yourself, you got to be open with God, and you got to be open with other people. And being open means this, that you're open to criticism sometimes. Real goodness and real sincerity and real integrity is being open to others. But it's also got to be open honesty with yourself. I love the way the psalmist refers to openness with yourself and honesty with yourself. He calls it the inward, truth in the inward parts. Come on, somebody. Man, we're real good about making up on the, like, you know, some people, I just thought about this this morning. Like, sometimes guys, like, criticize ladies because they put on makeup or blah, blah, blah. Guys make up makeup. They wear makeup. They make up all of this stuff on the outside and, like, looking one way and, like, they ain't who they. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Like, so just leave here today saying, Pastor Jeff said, guys wear makeup. I'm just saying. Because we do. Because we always want to have truth in the inward parts. When David was praying, he was repenting in Psalm 51. And he says, God, here, I just need you to give me truth. Like, I need you to show me on the inward parts. Like, I'm trying to be honest with myself. Can I just say this to you this morning? It's scary to me how many people have a great knowledge of Bible but continually walk in blatant sins. Like, they can quote scripture. Y'all ready for this? But we can't keep our mouth shut. We know Scripture, but if anybody tells you something in confidence, next thing you know, everybody knows. Right? They can quote Scripture, but they're full of gossip and discord and division. Listen, if you're seeking to become a person of goodness and faithfulness and integrity, you're willing to let God's truth search you, and you're willing to get truth in your inward parts. And then another one is sameness. A person with integrity is the same in every part of your life. There's no set of values for Sunday and another set of values for to close the deal because I got to, you know, I know this isn't exactly right. I didn't really exactly do this, but I'm going to make sure like it makes it all good. And I have another set of values because I'm going on vacation with my friends and my friends do things that I personally don't think's right, but I don't want to offend. How come we go and like... We let them set the agenda instead of, hey, I'm going to just do right what I'm going to do what's right for me. Like what God's word says, right? Instead, we're like, well, I know they kind of do some things. I don't really agree, but I just don't want to. We compromise. Like, right, we just got a whole other set of values. Right? We have one set of values when we're at home with our family and another set of values when we're traveling outside for business. But a person with integrity is the same in every part of their life, and that's goodness and faithfulness. That's sincerity. That's integrity. So worship team, I want you to come. Does help anybody today? I know that's true. Or I know, like, why are we talking about truth? Because we're so involved in lies. Because it's so easy, right? It's so easy to fall into the traps of the enemy. So let me just give you some ways, really just one way, to cultivate goodness and faithfulness in your life. How do you become a person who's growing in truth and integrity? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 8, it says this, Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. He's talking to these people. He says, you are also living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the truth, light, is already shining. John is telling those he's writing to, hey guys, you're growing in this. And I would say this to you today, like, church, listen, do we have it all together? Nope. But listen, as we're growing and we're going in the right direction, right? That's good, right? That we're growing in goodness and faithfulness and honesty and integrity. And the darkness of sin is no longer in us, and darkness is continuing to disappear. And the light of Jesus is shining brighter. So how do you get to this to happen? Well, a couple of things, and I'm just going to land the plane this morning. First, it starts with this. Our word, repentance, right? Can I say this? You should jot this down. Repentance isn't just a prayer, it's a lifestyle. I said repentance isn't just a prayer, it's a lifestyle. If you think that repentance is just a sinner's prayer that you repeated with a preacher the day you got saved, then you don't really understand the Christian life. Right? Because I've repented thousands of times since I got saved, right? You have to live a life marked by repentance. Repentance is what cleans you out, right? Repentance is what attacks the lies that are trying to control you, right? So that's the first step. We just got to repent. And again, we got to be open with God and say, God, I want you to show me truth in my inward parts. Not what everybody sees, but in my inward parts, right? How many know, like, and on some level, all of us do this, right? Because we church. How many know you're not acting church in church the way you're going to act today, this afternoon when you go home at church, right? Because at church, you're going to put on your clothes, right? And you're going to, you know, you're going to come to church and you're going to, you know, be in church or whatever. And then if you're like us, like, we go home, we eat, and then we get into lounge clothes. Come on, somebody. Anybody besides me? Right? Like, and then we're going to lay on the couch and we just go, right? And that's the true who we are, right? Now, I'm not saying your character. I'm just simply saying, isn't it true? Like, we're in a different environment. We're gonna dress different, right? We're going to have our fat pants on. Come on, somebody. I took Michelle out last night. Hey, her birthday's on Tuesday, y'all. Y'all can sing happy birthday later. She's going to kill me because I just said that. That's okay. Because she's going to have to repent. No, I'm just kidding. Just so you know, she's getting up there to where she's almost, she's not as old as me, but she gets the same discounts as I'm gonna get. Okay, I'm just gonna tell you. It's pretty cool. I'm okay with that, right? Anyway, well, right, we're in different places, right? But here's another way. So first we gotta repent. We gotta ask God to show us the inward parts, and then we gotta look at the fruit. Every one of these fruit originates in the heart of God. And we know you become what you worship. So here's what I would say. I would say you gotta find in God what produces goodness and faithfulness in Him, and then start doing that. Right? Same with me this morning. It was really good until I started talking about Michelle's birthday, right? Just kidding. Truth, guys. And again, I know we're in a world where it's like, right? But how many know truth, particularly biblical truth, is really, really hard to find? Right? Right? We have AI and algorithms and like, I was talking the other day about something like, you see it on Facebook, like you don't even know what's true anymore, right? You see something on Facebook, right? Like, listen, just because you heard it or saw it on Facebook, like, I always say this, trust and verify before you start spreading it around. Well, I heard, so I know it's kind of simple. You're like, well, what's the deal? But listen, I'm just telling you, like, we're so blinded sometimes. Because we have so many we've been around so many people who have different departments, and they're like, well, I'm this way with my friends, and I'm this way with my family, and I'm this way at work, and I'm this way at church, and like, right? And it's exhausting. So I'm just saying, man, like the only way to get back into congruency is to walk in integrity, goodness, and faithfulness.